المتقين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا ورسولنا وكريمنا وعزيزنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، فاعبد الله مخلصا له الدين. وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. All praise and all glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, the most perfect, the one and only, the everlasting. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his noble and purified family, and upon the illustrious and beautiful companions, and upon all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. My respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal shower upon you all on this blessed, noble and sacred day of Jumu'ah. And may we all be gathered together on the day of Qiyamah in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Allahumma ameen. Today, inshaAllah al-Aziz, as you can see from the slide, we will be talking about a very, very integral and important topic of Islam, which is the topic of purity. Not just the purity that we achieve via our ablution or via our ghusl, but the purity of the heart, the purity of our niyyah. And this is something that we all must reflect upon and be constantly purifying our intentions and also our amal, the topic of ikhlas within our deen. But before we get into the topic itself, I want to start off with a story, a historical story that took place after the Khulafa'i Rashideen. So I want you to follow me with this story and then see what you would do in this particular situation, or rather the world that we are living in, the social media world, the world of fame and power and glory. What would the people in the world do today in comparison to what our people did, i.e. the people, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So in this particular historical instant, the Muslims, they were there trying to go into the Roman Empire, and they approached a particular city. But that city was, as you know, well fortified. They built castles. It was very, very difficult to enter into those cities. And they were there besieging that particular city for multiple months, for many, many months. And the leader of that army at that time, his name was Maslama. His name was Maslama. He was the leader of the army. And after many, many months of trying to invade or get into this particular city, and they were not successful, he found out via his personnel that there was a tunnel, very much like the tunnel you see in The Lord of the Rings when they try to get inside from the bottom. That he realized that there's a tunnel, and if you enter via that tunnel, you can end up opening up the gates to the fortress, and then you can get success for the rest of the Muslim army. So the individual would have to go through that tunnel, would have to break that gate on the other side of the tunnel, and without a doubt there would be guards on the other side, and he would have to kill or defeat those guards and then open up the gates in order to allow the Muslim army to enter in and then gain victory. So this was that particular situation that Maslama had with his army, who were there sieging that particular city for many months at end. So what did Maslama do? Maslama, being the chief army at that time, general, he gathered all of his soldiers, or the high-ranking soldiers, and he brought them all together and he said, this is the plan, this is our only way to get into the city, so who will put their hand up? who wants to go into this tunnel. We don't know what's inside the tunnel. We don't know if there's booby traps in the tunnel. We don't know if there's alligators or what, or scorpions or snakes inside the tunnel. And we certainly don't know what's on the other side of the tunnel. One guard, two guards, 10 or 1,000 guards. We don't know. But we need one person to go in there and to complete this particular mission. And all of the soldiers, because they were there for many, many months, nobody wanted to put their hand up because they knew it was essentially a suicide mission. So everybody remained pretty much quiet, apart from one individual. And they could not see his face. His face was masked. So do you know how the Arabs, they have these big turbans. They also use the turbans then to cover their face from the sand as well. So he had completely covered his face, and the only thing that was showing or visible were his eyes. So he put his hand up, and Maslama realized that this person has volunteered, and this person will go through the tunnel, and then he will see what he can do to get the rest of the Muslim army inside. And lo and behold, that individual, he went through the tunnel, and then he fought the guards on the other side. And then he, alhamdulillah, he opened up the gates as well, and the Muslim army were then able to enter into that particular city or the fortress and overcome the enemy, and then they were victorious at that time. So everybody was extremely happy. Now that the victory was given to the Muslims because of that one individual, everybody wanted to know who was that masked man. Who was that man who enabled all of the Muslims to enter into the city after months and months of laying siege so that they could obviously come in? So Maslama, again, he gathered all of his army personnel, all of the soldiers, and he said, who is that individual? And he tried to get everybody, but nobody would put their hand up because it wasn't them. And then he finally said, you know, I give you this oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever it was, please come forward. So then the masked man, he raises his hands and he said that he comes to Maslama at that night, and then he says to him that I will tell you who I am, i.e. I will reveal myself, but before I reveal myself, I have three conditions that I want you to agree to. And then Maslama said, yes, whatever your conditions are, I will agree to your conditions, and you just show me who you are, because he was very proud of this individual. So the three conditions that he put, the first condition that he said, that you will not promote me. Once you know who I am, you will what? You will not promote me. And the second condition is that you will not send a letter of recommendation or commendation to the Khalifa so that he can reward me and then he can also honor me as well. So you do not promote me, and neither do you inform the Khalifa who I am so that he can give me a higher rank and money, etc. And the third condition is that you will not treat me any differently than any other soldier. So he accepted all of these three conditions, that I will not promote you, and I will not inform the Khalifa who you are, and neither will I treat you any different once I know who you are. So Maslama agreed, and after he agreed, then the soldier, the masked soldier, he removed his mask. He removed his dupatta, and then he showed himself for who he was, and then he went away. And the Muslima mentions that ever since that night, every night I do dua that, oh Allah, gather me with the masked man, with that particular man, because he didn't even know who he was, i.e. his name, where his lineage goes, or anything like that. He only saw his face, and he had already agreed that he wouldn't do any of the three conditions. This was that masked man. Now put yourself in the same scenario, that if you, because of you, Muslims gained victory, such a great success, what kind of conditions would you have? What kind of expectations would you have as an individual? This is how now I should be promoted, I should be rewarded, I should be recognized, I should be put on a pedestal. Look at where we are, and look at where the true Muslims were at that particular time. So this is how I want to start off our story with the story of Maslama and the masked man. So if you, in your own personal capacity, could do something absolutely great for your family, or for the community, or more importantly, for the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something great, something amazing, absolutely amazing, which would change the course of history, as this battle did, would you not want that particular honor Of course we would. Would you not want that praise and recognition? Of course you would. Would you not want that fame and that reward that comes along with all of these things? Yes, people just go and help somebody else and they take, you know, videos and photos and they're in the newspaper. Look at what I did. I built a well. Look at what I achieved. I did this, 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 this. When they do something trivial or small, but look at this, in this particular scenario, what that individual achieved. But he said, I don't want any of these things. So if you were in that particular situation of Maslama and that masked man, how would you react and behave? And if you did something today, in this day and age, what would you expect from people, from your own family members, or from your manager, or from the society to say, oh, look at this person, he's donated so much to the masjid. This person has done so much work for the community. This person has given everything that he has. We need to give him fame, we need to give him recognition, we need to do all of these things. The difference between us and those individuals at that time, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, and the Taba Tabi'een, those true Muslims, is that they knew that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, then that is enough. And this is the difference. We want the dunya to know about every single pound and penny that we give. We want the dunya to know that every single hour and minute that we give to help other people out, we don't even think or concern ourselves whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows or not. But this was the other side of these people. They always just wanted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to know, and they didn't want the rest of humanity to know. Why? Because in their heart was this core element, this element of ikhlas, this element of sincerity. And this is something that we need to reflect upon in our own personal lives as well, and realize that sincerity, ikhlas, is not an option for us to tick. That I will perhaps do this sincerely, I will do this particular act of worship sincerely, or I'll do this sadaqah, or I'll do X, Y, and Z sincerely, or this amal. All of our a'mal and all of our ibadat must be based on ikhlas. It's not an option for us to sometimes be sincere and sometimes to be insincere. Because without ikhlas, our a'mal and our af'al and our ibadat, they will actually be wasted. Because everything in terms of what we do revolves around this key element, this quintessential element of ikhlas. Ikhlas is the key to our deen. It is the key to the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the key to our success in the deen as well as the dunya. It is the key to our success in our grave. And most importantly, ikhlas is the key to our success in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in this particular regard. فَاعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصِ. That he instructs us, every single one of us, to do what? To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like that, just with our body, just for the sake of it, or just for showing off, or for society? No. Worship Allah azza wa jal, mukhlisin, in complete sincerity, with complete ikhlas. The deen of religion is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unquestionably, ala lillahi deenul khalis, without a doubt, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most pure religion and the pure deen. And therefore, whatever we give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of our ibadat and a'mal must also equally be the most sincere. A parent can tell when a child is sincere or insincere in their apology, or how sincerely they do things for your sake. Do you not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the state of our heart, and whether we've come here today or do other things for the sake of Allah, or for the sake of the dunya, for the sake of our community, for the sake of our parents, for the sake of somebody else? But no, everything that we do is only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and therefore we must make sure that our sincerity is there at the forefront and at the core of all of our a'mal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala furthermore mentions in the Quran, قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ دِينَ. Again, that I have been, they were commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, حُنَفَى, to be sincere towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inclining always towards the truth. And even to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him as well, قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ, that I have been commanded by Allah azza wa jal to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? In the most sincere of manners. So this is something which is very intrinsic to who we are and to our deen, to ask ourselves how sincere and how pure are our actions, and what do we want to achieve by our actions. Is it like Maslama and the masked man, where we don't want the promotion, we don't want the fame, we don't want the recognition, and we don't want to be treated differently? Or are we doing all of these things so that we can feel better about ourselves, so that other people can say, Waji, look at how sakhi this person is, look at how jawad this person is, look at how generous this person is, look at how benevolent this person is, look at how, you know, sacrificial and altruistic this person is. Look, look, look. The people will look at you, but they will not benefit you, but rather you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look at your heart. And this is where ikhlas is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he informs us that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ بَلْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look towards your outer, your body and your face and your outer actions, but rather he looks towards your heart, because this is where the ikhlas is. Ikhlas comes from khalis. And khalis is something which is absolutely pure. There is no adulteration whatsoever. We all go to Pakistan and the first thing we ask, khalis do they kini? Is this pure milk or not? Because we know they do mixture of 70% water and 30% milk. We know that nothing is pure when we buy from the radio, from the shop, or from anywhere else. We know there is a dilution going on somewhere. There's an adulteration going on somewhere. We look for the packaging. We look for all of these things. Similarly, do you not assume or realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to also give Him the most pure forms of worship, the most pure forms of ikhlas, the most authentic version of who we are, for us to be absolutely transparent in what we think and what we believe, and also in what we do, to be simple and be true in all of our actions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So reflect on who you are, reflect upon your actions, and ask yourselves how many of those actions have been khalisatan lillah. How many of those are purely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal? Or is there some form of doing it to show off for your family, or to appease other people, or please other people, or to do something else? So ikhlas is to strip yourself from any form of desire to please anyone else, and rather your primary focus is only to seek the pleasure and the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what ikhlas really is. And Junayd al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah, a great scholar of our time, and also a great Sufis and saint as well, he mentions that al-ikhlasu sirrun bayna al-abdi wa rabbi. That ikhlas, sincerity, is a secret between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But nowadays, everything that we do, we're showing it off. And it really hurts me, and I'm sure it hurts you as well. People are going on Hajj. People are going on Umrah. People are going to do the Ziyarah, and there they are taking their selfies in the front of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are you trying to show? Allah is before you, the majestic house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, and you're showing off for whom? Who are you trying to show off? Ikhlas is a sirr. Al-ikhlas sirrun bayna al-abdi wa rabbi. He goes, لَا يَطَّلِهُ عَلَيْهِ مَلَكْ فَيَكْتُبْ. That it's so secretive that even the angels on your shoulders are unaware of this particular secret, and they are unable to write it. وَلَا شَيْطَانَ فَيُفْسِدُ. And neither does the shaitan become aware of how mukhlis you are, the sincerity in your heart, but even he is unable to spoil that thing. This is what ikhlas is. وَلَا وَلَا يَطَّلِهُ عَلَيْهِ هَوَى فَيَمِيلُ. And neither is your desire able to find out about that ikhlas in order for it to deviate you away from your true path. Because we do things for the sake of dunya, and the shaitan puts that dunya within us. and also we do it and our desires overcome us and we end up doing it to satisfy ourselves or to satisfy the whispers of the shaitan or to please other people. But ikhlas is sirrun bayna al-abdi wa rabbi. This is what ikhlas really is to forget all of creation and whoever is watching you for whatever reason and only do it for the creator. This is the difference. But in this day and age, the world that we are living in, we are doing everything for the creation and we are forgetting that we should be doing it solely for the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even Iblis in the Quran himself, he goes, قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. That he took an oath upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes, Ya Allah, by your might, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will surely misguide every single one of your creation. إِلَّا عِبَادَ. Except for your servants. We all consider ourselves to be the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But no, there is a category that he mentions, which is specific, that he was unable to misguide them, to spoil them, to deviate them. إِلَّا عِبَادَكْ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Except for those, ya my Lord, though, that are sincere to you. This is what he is saying. So ask yourselves, are you just from the normal ibad? Or from the abid? Or are you from the ibad al-mukhlaseen, the true sincere servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do things only for Allah and not for the creation? So we need to really, really make sure that we purify our intentions. We need to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can you achieve ikhlas in your life? So the first thing is purifying your intentions. Before you attempt any action, you do any worship, always ask yourself, why am I doing this? You can ask yourself, why did you come to Jummah today? Why do you have a beard? Why are you wearing the hijab? Why do you pray? Why do you volunteer? Why do you go and visit the sick? Why do you go and attend the janaiz? Why do you join the khatam for the food? Why are you supporting this particular orphan or building that masjid or that well or going and building all of these schools? Ask yourself, why are you doing it? And if there's any element of to make yourself feel better, or for people to recognize you and say shabash and well done, or to put the, you know, tap you on the back, then you've wasted all of that. Because why should only be, is I'm doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's it. So whilst you are doing any of these actions and more, always first and foremost stop and ask yourself, why am I doing it? And then correct your heart, purify your intention, place that sincerity back in there and reset your action and then redo that action. Otherwise, if you carry on doing all of those things, everything that you do, it will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you didn't do it lillah. You did it for linnas. You did it for linafs. You did it for yourself or you did it for people. You didn't do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your reward comes when you do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is your reward. It's not from people. So purifying your intentions is the first element of achieving that ikhlas in your life. Even it's for something like seeking knowledge. All of us attempt to seek knowledge, whether it is worldly knowledge or religious knowledge. But why do we do it? Is it to get a degree? Get a good job, to compete with our siblings or family or friends, to be superior, to have that fame and power and say, oh, I have, look at my degree. I got a first. Look at how much I earn. Look at my car. Look at my home. Look at my son, X, Y, and Z. Why are you even going to university and all the other places? If it's not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to recognize who you are and your place in this dunya and for that knowledge to get you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that those who seek that knowledge for competition, to show themselves to be superior or for fame or for power, they will not smell the fragrance of Jannah. Not enter Jannah. They will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah. This is why intention, sincerity, ikhlas is so important. Without that, you can spend your entire life pursuing all of these things and they'll be wasted before your eyes. Ikhlas, it transforms the actions that are not even done. Ikhlas also transforms the actions that are partially done. And ikhlas also transforms those actions that are incorrectly done. I'll give you three simple examples. You have ikhlas in your heart and you intend fully to wake up for tahajjud, and you put your alarm on, you fold your wife, you put all of the means there, but ghalabat ayni, the sleep overcomes you and you are unable to wake up for genuine reasons. In spite that you have not done that act of worship, you will still be recorded as a person who performed tahajjud. Why? Because of your ikhlas. It was incomplete, it was not done, but you still get the reward. Another ikhlas, that you left the masjid, you left your home to go to the masjid. You've gone halfway and you had a genuine emergency where you've hurt yourself or somebody in the family and you've had to go back because of that genuine ikhlas. Even though the amal is incomplete or halfway rather, you will still be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of your ikhlas. Ikhlas is when you do something even incorrect, you will still be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You intended to give sadaqah, but you ended up giving it to a thief. You ended up giving it to a prostitute. You ended up giving it to a person who's rich. Ikhlas was in your heart that you want to give it in the way of Allah azza wa jal, but it was given to the wrong person incorrectly, unintentionally. You will still be rewarded as a person who has given in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ikhlas is so paramount and essential in our lives. We always overlook it, and without ikhlas, we have no deen. We don't have the key to Jannah. We are unable to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing that we can do to achieve ikhlas is get addicted to hidden actions. Ikhlas is where, as I mentioned at the beginning, it is in your heart. It's not on your hand. It's not in your eyes. Not anywhere else external. It is there within your heart. And we should do those actions that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about. And try to do more and more actions that are just between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. Not even your wife or your family knows. مَنْ إِسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ خَبِيءٌ. The khabi'ah is something which is hidden, which is a secret. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that if you are able to perform an amal which no one else knows except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيَفْعَلْ, then you should do that as much as you can, because these hidden actions will enable you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because you're not doing it because other people know. You're not doing it because of fame or power or recognition. It's only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Zainul Abidin, may Allah ta'ala be pleased with him, he used to distribute food at night time so that other people would not know it is Imam Zainul Abidin distributing this food. But when he passed away, only after he passed away and the food stopped, then they realize actually it was Imam Zainul Abidin who used to distribute this food. But when we do something small, if we give £5, if we give £10, make sure you say my name, make sure my name is on the slide, make sure this, make sure that. Allah knows your intention. But we should try to avoid the limelight. We should try to avoid the fame, because it can potentially corrupt your heart and corrupt your action. So do those things hidden and keep it between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A mukhlis person is the one who hides his good deeds the same way that he hides his evil deeds as well. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden your evil deeds, you should also do good things that is only between you and Allah azza wa jal. And do something and then forget about it. As they say in our language as well, neki kar and darya mein dal. Just do something and then forget about it. Do a good action and throw it in the sea and forget about it as well. So don't just keep reminding yourself and other people how you made this donation and you did this and you built this masjid and you built that well, or you helped somebody in their wedding, or you sponsored a child, or you did this, you did that. Do your amal and leave it. And forget it. Don't bring it back again and again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءٌ وَلَا شُكُورًا. That we only feed you, we help you, we assist you, we support you, we do whatever good we can for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't do it so that you can thank us. We don't do it so that you can reward us. We do it لِلَّهِ. We do it لِلَّهِ لِنُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. They don't want any reward. They don't want any shukr. But when we do something, I gave that person this much money, he never thanked me. He never came back and he never did this and he never did that. We're always looking for that reward and that recognition. No, you've done it. Who did you do it for? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do it and forget it. Remember that everything is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't expect people to say thank you or to reward you. If they do, alhamdulillah. If they don't, You never did it to please them. You only did it to please Ar-Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam declared that all of my ibadat, all of my worship, and all of my sacrifices and my life and my death, everything that I have and that I give is not for you, it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask yourselves again, where is your attention and what are you doing and who are you doing it for? For yourself, for others, or for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We need to remind ourselves constantly to do those good things and forget about them. And the fourth thing that we can do to achieve ikhlas in our life is do constant dua for ikhlas from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seek the protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the riya, showing off, or fame, and all of these other things do not enter into your heart. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would do this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min as-sam'ati wa riya. Ya Allah, I seek your refuge from what? From showing off. You know, I did this and I did this for my family, for my community, for society, for the ummah, for the masjid, for the school, for the orphan, for the... No, Allah, I don't want any of these things for the people. Allah, I did it for your sake. Protect me from showing off. Protect me from seeking fame. Protect me from having followers. Nowadays, we want followers. We seek the fame. We seek the glory. And what you seek will remain with you in the dunya, and you will receive nothing in the hereafter. The opposite of ikhlas is none other than riya, none other than nifaq. So what do you want? Do you want ikhlas with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are you trying to deceive yourself or trying to deceive other people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the glorious Quran that we shall turn to their deeds on the day of Qiyamah. Haba'an mansura. We should gather all of their deeds. Everything that you did in the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather it all in front of you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them scattered into fine particles of dust. Why? You didn't do it for me, Allah will say. You did it for people. That's it. All of your a'mal, they'll be wasted in front of you. So it's not about the quantity of a'mal that you do during your lifetime. It is about the quality of your a'mal. The quality is connected to the ikhlas that you have for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't care whether you give £5 million in His sake, but what He does care is whether you gave 5 pence or 5 pounds, but for His sake, if with sincerity, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to get fame and power and recognition and reward from the dunya. Whoever you are trying to please in the dunya, they will ultimately die, and everything else will die with them. But if you do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Al-Hayyul Qayyum, He is Al-Ladhi La Yamut. He will never ever die, the ever living, the ever sustaining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do something for Allah, and your reward will remain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final point, why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Ikhlas? Why not Surah Al-Tawheed? Because it talks about the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded is at Surah Ikhlas, because it requires you to be sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, requires you to seek the salvation only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be sincere with Allah azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always been sincere with you, and your a'mal will not be wasted. They will not become like haba'an mansura on the day of Qiyamah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to purify our intentions, to carry our good deeds, and constantly do dua for protection, and protect ourselves from our own selves, and from the community, and from the waswas of shaitan.